Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalties' first quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that today's discussions may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risk and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risks and uncertainties related to these forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's management information circular dated May 12, 2016, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded on May 11, 2017. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Steve Perry, Chief Executive Officer of Grenville Strategic Royalty.
Thank you, Operator, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating in today's call. I'm joined today by Donna Carell, our Chief Financial Officer. Yesterday afternoon, we released our 2017 first quarter financial results, which can be found on our website at grenvillesrc.com. The important changes we made a year ago in the structure of the organization and the portfolio are beginning to emerge. The early results are positive. From a high-level perspective, it's steady progress, not a rapid ascent. At this time last year, we had a lot of work to do. The underlying fundamentals of the portfolio were not strong. Our cost structure was too high. Our pace of investment slowed in the second half of the year. Fast forward to today. The portfolio is stronger today than it was a year ago. We have made significant changes to reduce our cost structure, and as demonstrated by our news flow, we are deploying capital in new opportunities and expect to continue to do so in the coming months. Subsequent to the end of the quarter, we received a contract buyout from the royalty agreement with Aquam Corporation. The $5 million contract buyout brings our total return on the original $2 million investment to $7.5 million. That represents an IRR of approximately 76% and a 3.76 times multiple cash return, our highest since our inception. Our alternate growth capital model worked for Aquam because it provided them non-dilutive capital to achieve specific milestones established by their board. The $5 million buyout we received can now be redeployed into new opportunities. This contract buyout is just the latest in a series of successful exits that we have delivered. It's our seventh contract buyout since our inception, proving that buyouts are part of our return profile, as much as the inevitable losses that we occur from time to time. To date, we have now invested just over $66 million in total, and we've received more than $40 million in cash returns. Those are numbers that we are very proud of in terms of the performance of the company. And we're delivering those returns with an exceptionally lean organization of just seven people. As Donica will address in a moment, we've reduced our OPEX by 20% from the same period last year, down to $280,000 on a monthly basis. Our royalty model is quite simple. Our investments translate into free cash flow from royalties and contract buyouts. The number one metric on which to judge our performance is cash generation. We generated positive free cash flow during the quarter prior to the Aquam buyout in April. Free cash flow was $52,000. Royalty payment income was $1.3 million. As reported, April's free cash flow was $3.6 million, setting us up for a strong Q2. Of the 36 investments we have made since inception, and that's to a current date, 23 are current payers or have been bought out. The core positions within the portfolio are producing and align well with our go-forward investment model, reflecting the profound learning we have extracted from the first 4 years of deploying this unique SME royalty product. But select legacy investments continue to weigh on the portfolio. As a result, we adjusted fair value of the portfolio down to $33 million from $37 million. After Tuesday's investment of $2 million in Connect and Sell, we have approximately $10 million in cash available to redeploy into new investments. Based on Treasury cash and cash flows, we do not anticipate raising capital for a second consecutive year. We have made five investments since the beginning of the year, two follow-on investments in Factor 75 and Humble Abode, and three new investments in Fixed Wireless, MedWorks, and Connect and Sell. Fixed is a wireless device repair service with multiple locations in the GTA. It has expanded its offering into a B2B service and was looking for growth capital to accelerate the momentum it's earned in that division. Its management team consists of entrepreneurs formerly of Grand & Toy and Bell Mobile, who have successfully built and sold three businesses to date. MedWorks is a Denver-based SaaS business that provides inpatient and ambulatory software solutions to healthcare facilities. They have a 19-year track record and are executing a roll-up strategy to build out their customer base and technology offering. Connect and Sell, which closed 2 days ago, is a sales acceleration SaaS business utilizing a patented automated dialing system. With a remarkable 100 million calls to date, the company was named one of the 10 most innovative companies by Ford Magazine in 2016, a high honor for the Silicon Valley founders of this business. Each of these three new opportunities fit our revised investment strategy. Our pipeline of deal flow is as strong as it's ever been. We've seen more than 100 deals per month at this stage, and it's not just a case of volume. The deals are higher quality than what we have seen in the past. As part of the changes in the last 12 months, we've implemented the systems and processes internally to review more deals. With the support of our JV partners, we expect to deploy capital on a consistent basis through the course of 2017 out of a rate of approximately 1 to 1.5 million per month across 1 to 3 new investments. Achieving the right cadence in deal flow is an important next step. Our JV partners have now invested in 5 deals with us. Our partners retain their independence. We should not expect that they will participate in every investment we make. They have independent investment committees. And on occasion, we may grant them the right to invest beyond the 25% level that they are entitled to under the agreement. But that independence is part of the strength of the JV relationships. Based on feedback among all three parties, the structure is working well, and additional opportunities to partner together exist that would serve to strengthen the relationship even further. Working with the JVs allows us to diversify the portfolio across more opportunities, earn a fee from the JVs for our agreement structure and origination, and still provide a sufficient level of capital to support the investees in achieving their growth plans. Subsequent to the end of the quarter, we used another lever in our toolkit through the restructuring of our agreement with Lattice Biologics. We negotiated an approximately 20% share in the company for extinguishing a portion of the royalty investment. We continue to hold a secured note for $700,000, for which we extended the maturity, and we still hold $1 million royalty investment at a royalty rate of 1.25%. This flexibility transfers the value of our investment from the P&L to our balance sheet and provides Lattice the opportunity to support the launch of their new products without the constraints on their cash flows that, frankly, was preventing them from remaining current with their payments. We believe this is an effective way to work with investees where cash flows have not grown sufficiently to support a regular payment. To put the transaction into perspective, we acquire shares at 20 cents under the agreement and would need to sell in the future at 40 cents to retain our 2x buyout objective. And this raises a very important point regarding the balance sheet value of our portfolio versus the free cash flow generated in the business. Shareholders will note that we reduced the fair value of the portfolio by $4.1 million to $33 million, while the April results show free cash flow at a very healthy $3.6 million. These apparently divergent results reflect the nature of the IFRS accounting method we adopted last year, a methodology all financial service companies will be required to adopt in 2018. As we have discussed previously, changes to the fair value appear as a line item in the revenue segment of the P&L, increasing or decreasing revenues. This has no effect on cash flow. To generate the fair value, Grenville must state a value for each investee based on conditions at the date of the valuation. In general, negative results can simply be presented as a reduced valuation. But what happens with companies showing positive results? If we look at a case such as Aquam, where we received more than $7.5 million in cash over time and had strong visibility on the exit for more than a year, we were never able to value the company above the buyout price. As a result, and given buyouts often happen on quite short notice, The upside value in the portfolio is hard to measure. As a result, shareholders normally see the positive outcome on the P&L in the form of increased cash flow rather than on the balance sheet. This is precisely why we recommend investors consider both the portfolio value and the cash flow in assessing our progress. To that end, we are quite pleased with the free cash flow in the business at the end of April, despite the reduction in the fair value of the portfolio. We are confident we will see additional buyouts over time that will enhance the free cash flow of the business. As of May 10, we believe additional upside exists in the portfolio for contract buyouts. We believe up to $4 million of additional contract buyout opportunities exist that could be monetized in the coming quarters. This would represent approximately $2 million in adjusted EBITDA and up to $1.4 million in free cash flow. While the timing and predictability of contract buyouts are uncertain, they represent a tangible and material component of our upside, as evidenced by the recent Aquam transaction. With that, I'll turn it over to Donica to review the financial results.
Thank you, Steve. Royalty payment income was $1.3 million in Q1 of fiscal 2017, compared to $2.5 million in the same period in 2016. The change in the quarterly period is primarily due to approximately $1.3 million in royalty payment income from 8 investments which have not paid for at least 3 months. Revenues were negative $3.4 million in Q1 compared to negative $2.8 million in the same period last year. Revenues were negatively impacted by net non-cash items of $4.8 million, consisting of a realized loss of $5.1 million from investments written off related to BG Furniture and PFO Global, unrealized foreign exchange loss of $0.7 million, which are offset by $1 million for an unrealized gain from the change in the fair value of royalty agreements acquired and promissory notes receivable. Free cash flow was $52,000 in Q1 compared to a negative $639,000 in the same period last year. The improvement was due to the crystallization of short-term working capital differences of $1.1 million, as well as higher income tax payable of $25,000 in the same period last year. These improvements were partially offset by lower royalty payment income received of $810,000 in Q1 of 2017. Total operating expenses were $1.2 million in Q1, compared to $1.06 million for the same period last year. The change is due to a once-off HST provision expense of $400,000. That expense was partially offset by $85,000 in lower salaries due to the management team taking a lower salary and 2 fewer employees, $69,000 in lower professional fees, and $36,000 in lower office and general administration expenses. Adjusting for the once-off expense, operating expenses for Q1 2017 were $200,000 lower, or in percentage terms, 20% than Q1 2016. We estimate operating expenses to run between $2.4 million and $3 million on an annual basis going forward, or $200,000 to $250,000 on a monthly basis. We recorded adjusted EBITDA of $157,000 in Q1 compared to $1.6 million in the same period last year. The change was primarily due to lower royalty payment income of $1.2 million and the $400,000 HST expense, each of which I referenced earlier. As of May 10, 2017, we believe royalty income, interest income, and contract buyouts for the month of April will be approximately $3.35 million, which equates to approximately $3.2 million in adjusted EBITDA and $3.6 million in free cash flow. For the three-month period ended, the monthly run rate for royalty payment income was $450,000. Given the Acrum buyout and the related loss of the royalty payment income, the run rate for the three-month period ended June 30, 2017 is expected to be approximately $350,000 per month. The run rate for the second half of the year is expected to increase as available capital is deployed in new royalty investments will generate royalty payment income. As of March 31, 2017, the loans and royalty agreements acquired were $61.1 million. Working capital was $14.3 million, and our cash position was $6.6 million. I will now turn it back over to Steve for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Danica. The royalty investment model we have designed for Grenville is quite simple. It's a cash-on-cash business. We've invested over $66 million since inception and delivered $40 million in cash returns. The changes we have made in the portfolio and our cost structure during the year are beginning to emerge. Our joint venture partnerships are helping to diversify the portfolio and scale the business. Wins like the Acrum buyout demonstrate the impact our royalty-based model can deliver, and we believe strong additional buyout candidates exist within the portfolio. But the refinements we have made in our investment strategy require patience. We have made steady progress in the past 12 months and are positioned to exit 2017 in a much stronger position than we entered it. We have approximately $10 million in capital available to deploy in new investments. Our pipeline is strong and growing each month with higher quality opportunities. With the five investments completed to date in 2017, we intend to return to a more consistent pace of investment through the end of the year. I would like to thank our shareholders for the commitment and patience they've demonstrated as we execute our growth-focused strategy. At this time, we would now like to take your questions. Operator?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And your first question comes from the line of David Cazada from Raymond James. Your line is open.
Thanks. Morning, guys. My first question, now that you've done a few deals here with your new kind of partnership-based structure and I think some revamped investment criteria, how would you say your due diligence process has changed and what kind of input are the partners having so far?
I'd point to two things. First of all, we've restructured our own internal investment committee. We now have one of our board members, Vernon Lobo, sits on our investment committee on each deal. So we have an extra person in the room who's adding expertise to the review. We then go through the same process with each of our partners who have developed their own independent investment committee. So we get, I would say, more people looking at each deal than we had before. The level and quality of the due diligence really evolved in 2016 through some work that Managing Director Dr. Annie Terrio put together that really suggested a couple of additional steps in the process, and then I would say a more effective use of what we call the red team process. By that, what that means is we basically divide the group of investment professionals into two halves, and we basically have one group that is the champion group within the team, and the other half are doing effectively an oppositional review looking for problems in the deal. We think that works very well. I personally think that the redesign of the criteria, which we're using, is two-thirds of the battle here. When you look at how the performance of the what we used to call the steady Eddie deals, the bricks and mortar type businesses performed versus the more technology-oriented companies or companies with a more SaaS-like business model as examples, there's a night and day difference. And we think we're simply looking at a better cohort of investments each month. So when you combine that with working with both of our JV partners and their internal reviews, I think you just get a more robust and a more comprehensive conversation. That's always a good thing in due diligence. I want to say, as we did in the presentation, there's always going to be a case where these are independent investment committees. They're going to make their own judgments for their own internal purposes, and our criteria will be slightly different. So it will not be surprising when you see one, two, or three investors in any particular deal. And that's a good thing. We think that's the right kind of tension to have in the process to make sure we're getting proper review on all transactions.
Okay, great. And then I guess maybe kind of a longer term question. Given this new model, what do you think is the kind of steady state or the end goal for the business? Do you have a target number of royalty investments that you want to make, and has that changed from before you had the partnership angle to the business?
Well, I think maybe the most important point to make here is that when we went to a model of which we would call a growth-oriented model, where we're reinvesting all the capital we make in deals which are sold as contract buyouts or come in as royalties, that means that we have a much more sustainable growth profile that we're putting together. So we do think this business scales to a very large size. You can do that quickly by putting a lot of capital to work in a hurry, which I think has risk attached to it. Right now, we've been very patient through 2016 and Q1 2017, deploying capital as we sort of learned the nature of the new portfolio and looked at this rather robust new deal flow we've seen. With that established, we think there is terrific upside in the business. We know that in larger scale royalty companies, there may be an issue with regards to competition from traditional private equity. We don't see that in our marketplace. We're such a unique product. We offer such a unique value prop that we think we have sufficient deal flow here to build a very big business over time. So this is a group that's focused on very significant growth over time. We're just being very patient in how we sort of build that ramp as we've come through this learning period of 2016.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And then I guess my last question here, on the deals that you wrote down, BG Furniture and PFO Global, what are you thinking in terms of a potential recovery there?
Effectively, those are small gains or small recoveries in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, is the best way to put it. Both deals really paid royalties for a couple of years and then stopped paying. So a more general comment, David, would be if you went back and looked at our portfolio on the whole, very few deals don't pay royalties for some significant period of time, typically at least a couple of years. And so even when we write transactions off, they probably return capital to us in the early years of the transaction. So unlike a traditional venture bet where you might have an investment made that just is a zero at the end of the day, we receive capital back from most of these companies. And so it's a very much an important piece of the puzzle. When you look at us changing fair value, there has been cash flow attached to those businesses. And that's true of both PFO and BG.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all I had. I'll get back in the queue.
Thanks, David.
Again, that is star one on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question over the phone. And there are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to Mr. Perry.
Well, thanks, everyone, for attending the call this morning. Just to close by saying the team is quite confident in the work we're doing. We feel very, very positively about our portfolio and about the way the new form of investment has worked out, and continue to be enthusiastic about the next quarter's activities, particularly with the April buyout of the Acum transaction. Thanks very much, everyone.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.